Tuesday, April 7th, Music Theory Unit Triads, Lesson 2, Root Position Triad Structure, Major Triads. Introduction to Lesson 2, The Structure of Triads. Yesterday we saw that the Ars Perfecta in the 16th century saw the rise of harmonies between increased numbers of voices. When we have more than two pitches that sound at the same time, we call this a chord. Here are several examples of chords. What do you see that is similar between them? What is different among them? The chords above, taken from several different musical eras, represent a few of the myriad possibilities when considering chord structures. Some, like Zarlino's Cenaria chord, can be quite sonorous. Others, like Stravinsky's Petrushka chord, can sound quite jarring and are difficult to reconcile outside of their original musical context. That is, taken by themselves, without the surrounding material, they can sound rather unresolved. However, for our study of chords, we will begin with a much lesser degree of complexity. Yesterday, we looked at Zarlino's Cenaria chord, and we sought to find the number of unique notes within it. From the bottom of the chord to the top, the notes are here, C, C, G, C, E, G. If we get rid of all of the repetitions, we are left with just C, E, and G, three unique notes. This then is as simple as we can get without falling back into the realm of intervals or dyads, which only have two notes. We call this simplest form of a chord, which has three notes, a triad. When we think of triads, we often think of them as having a starting point, a pitch upon which the others rest. And from there, we stack intervals to build the chord upward. In theory, we could arrange then any three notes and call it a triad. But remember that Zarlino was concerned with a perfect harmony resulting from super-particular ratios. So we will seek to do the same and limit ourselves to the notes he used, C, E, G. The major triad. Since C was the lowest note in the Cenaria chord, we will treat it as our starting point, which we call the root note. Consider the relationship of the root to the other notes. When we calculate these intervals and we stack the notes close together on the staff, the following structure arises. The note C here is what we call the root. C to E forms a major third, and C to G forms a perfect fifth. Much like intervals, triads also have qualities which we use to identify them. Because this chord has a major third and a perfect fifth, we call it a major triad. Note, we do not have perfect triads. Unlike intervals, there is not only one interval class. We have three notes and three distances to calculate on the staff. Accordingly, we will instead use the root note to name the chord in place of an interval class. We would call this chord, CEG, a C major triad. Since we know that major thirds are four half steps and perfect fifths are seven half steps, we can use this formula to write a major triad on any given root note. Let's try E flat. Starting on E flat as our root note, when we go up four half steps on the keyboard, we land on G. Then, counting up seven half steps from E flat, or three from G, we land on B flat. We would call this chord an E flat major triad. When triads appear in this way, with the notes stacked close together, we call it a close root position triad. Moreover, when all of the notes in a triad appear in the same key signature, we would call it a diatonic triad, much like we do for intervals.